Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. This is something different today. This is a crash course in the NBL for people either new to it or coming to it from other codes like the AFL, NRL, or cricket, or returning to the NBL after a long hiatus. Maybe you're someone who was into it during the 90s. The question of this podcast is, why follow the NBL? COVID has shrunk people's worlds. For some, that world is as small as 5 kilometres. It's time to focus on your community because no one gives a stuff about you outside of a small circle, let's be honest. Support those nearest to you because there's a chance, probably still only a slim one, but still a chance that they will support you in return. The NBL is a league in your circle. Also, wouldn't it be nice when a person asks you what your favorite basketball team is, you reply a team in the NBL rather than sounding like a bit of a knob and saying the Lakers or the Bulls or the Nets? Do you really want to be an NBA cuck your whole life, watching their games over breakfast 9,000 miles removed in a time zone way out of whack? Watching players that are bigger than the league. LeBron James has more Instagram followers than the league itself. And not to degrade that product, it's a fine product. And if I lived there, I'd be all over it. But I don't. And I'm willing to bet, neither do you. So how do you do it? How do you start following the NBL? Well, quite simple. Firstly, pick a team. I'd suggest keep it local, but if you want to make your choice based off the uniform or a favorite player, go for it. Secondly, follow the NBL on Twitter and download the NBL app. Both are great for needed updates and notifications. Before we go any further though, quick history lesson. In its 42-year history, the NBL has pretty much gone from a 90s boom to, let's call it, a wee bit of a bust. Its rebound has been slow but chartable in the last 5 years. It's a league that has sustained more extinction than excellence. The number of clubs that have spectacularly flamed out and disappeared outweigh the number of current teams by a ratio of more than 2-1. But this is a strength of the league, and here's why. Now, I'm going to bore you with a little story. I had a neighbor who collected birds. He had this amazingly large aviary of exotic and colorful birds, macaws, the whole caboodle. He was going away for a week and he asked me to feed them for him. I agreed, but the problem was, these birds wouldn't eat. I'd go to refill their food bowl that was hanging on the side of the cage, and every time I went to do it, it was full. They just weren't eating. And this went on day after day after day, pretty much the entire week that he was gone. By day 6 or 7, these birds were going crazy, squawking day and night, pecking the feathers off each other, sharpening their beaks on the cuttlefish to a razor point. It got hairy. Long story short, the neighbor returns and goes ape. What the F happened here? My prize macaw looks like it's had its feathers plucked. It had all dotted, ripply skin, like a raw chicken breast with the skin on. I said, I don't know, they won't eat, it's not my fault. He says, there's no food in their bowls, you lying S-H-I-T. You see, the bowls were full of husk. I didn't know that birds cracked the seeds, ate the seeds, and then left the husk, which looks like food in its place. So these poor things, they turned on one another. And that's the NBL in a nutshell. Its teams and its players. This isn't a lucrative league, and there's not enough to go around. There's only 10 teams, 12 roster spots, and only 5 players can take the court at any one time for any one team. Everybody in the NBL pretends that they love each other and like each other, but the reality is they plucking hate one another, and that's what makes it great. You might be wondering what this song is underneath what I'm saying. This is Aerosmith's Sweet Emotion from 1975. Even though it's 46 years old, it's never been more relevant, especially this lyric. That's the NBL again in a nutshell. It's not spoken about widely, the merch isn't worn by many, and who knows what's going to happen year to year. But get into it anyway. Continuing on with the history lesson, Larry Kesselman bought the entire NBL league in 2015. Like the Monopoly man, this guy didn't just buy a team or a single property, he bought the whole set. Built houses and hotels, and now he charges rent at 2, 3, 4 times the cost. Kesselman bristles with club owners, I'm sure, but ultimately, they work for him. Everybody hates their boss, yes, and everybody says that. What they don't tell you is, your boss hates you even more, and he owns your ass. At the end of the day, Kesselman can turn to those owners and say, go directly to jail. Do not pass go, and for God's sake, do not bend down to pick up the soap. Last season, the hashtag of the league, or the slogan of the league, was hashtag expect the unexpected. It was a slogan to serve as a salve for the potential COVID-19 scheduling issues that would inevitably surface. Marketing 101, under promise, over deliver, which NBL 21 definitely did. I'm hoping the tagline for NBL 22 will be hashtag lean into the hate. Here's a brief synopsis of each team, their identity, and the obstacles they're going to face going into NBL 22. Adelaide 36ers, four-time championship winners, the last one coming in 2002. They may as well be filled with apple. They've had that much turnover in recent years. Coaches, players, and identity, you name it. This team is the former stomping ground of the NBL's crown jewel, Josh Giddey, now of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've got talent on their roster, but they also really want that next star NBA buyout money. So talented but ultimately unimpactful youngsters should see plenty of court time. New coach CJ Brute is going to have a tough time unifying this team. Brisbane Bullets. They used to be a powerhouse of the NBL on court and commercially, having won three championships, the last one coming in 2007. But in the last 14 years, they've spent more time out of the league than in it. But they've got Nathan Sobey, the most athletic and aggressive local in the NBL, and a recent Olympic bronze medal winner. Plus, they have import Lamar Patterson. Or is it Professor Klump? No, wait, Buddy Love. The guy's a stud when he hasn't constantly been snacking on milk duds. Cairns Taipans. If you're a fan of the underdog, this is the team for you. In their 22-year history, they haven't won a thing, but they have come close in 2011 and 15. Scott Machado is an import point guard, very good, super reliable. Sadly, the mid-order is as inconsistent as the food standard at McDonald's. Coach Adam Ford has his hands full getting this team to play hard every possession of every game. Illawarra Hawks. Coached by the great and famous current Olympic coach Brian Gorgian, this is the only team to have taken part in every NBL season. How? Nobody quite knows. They've been knocking on death's door financially more often than a Jehovah's Witness. Gorgian spins straw into gold. He's a great talent incubator and very good tactically and situationally. The roster is good without being great. Tyler Harvey is like Steph Curry light. Harvey hit a league-high 124 threes last season. He's also in possession of a killer floater. Fun player to watch. Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Brand new team. Everybody hates the name. Everyone is blasé about the uniforms. But Coach Scott Roth has NBA and NBL assistant coach pedigree. Will it cross over to the top job? Decent roster with the likes of high-flying big man Will Magne, who was ultimately chewed up by the Brisbane Bullets, then spat out by the Perth Wildcats last season. Sad to say, the team will probably start strong, then flame out under the magnifying glass of their first season. Next up is the Broken Hill Backdoor Bandits, formed in 1981, owners of two championship rings in 99 and 2001. They've put together their roster after hosting open trials in August. Coached by Argentinian tactician Jorge Iglesias, they hope to... Nah, I'm just f***ing around. There's no team called the Broken Hill Backdoor Bandits. There is a team, however, called the Melbourne United. The once Melbourne Tigers and Gay's family vehicle is now a possession of league owner Mr. Kesselman. They won it all last season, but this year they've had a mass exodus of talent. Jock Landau, Uday Barber, Scotty Hobson and Mitch McCarron, all gone. In their place is a sweetheart of Australian basketball, Matthew Dellavedova. He'll be paired in the backcourt with NBA media darling Chris Golding, even though no one can seem to pronounce his name correctly. I want to call him Goulding. Dellavedova is as dirty a player as Golding is good looking, which is to say very. Dellavedova will be squeezing offensive players nuts behind the play while CG43 will be draining him. Three-pointers, I mean. What did you think I meant? He's a handsome dude, bedroom eyes the whole lot, but hands off. Sorry, ladies, he's married. And by the way, the 43 in CG43 stands for Golding's jersey number, not the average age of the roster. This can be confusing, I understand. New Zealand Breakers. One of only two teams to have ever won three in a row, their last taste of ultimate success was in 2015. They are the only team with a coach from outside of Australia or North America in Israeli Dan Shamir, and it shows on the floor. In the off-season, they shed the Webster brothers Corey and Ty. The knock on both was their selfishness, and sadly, nothing they did this off-season in refusing the COVID-19 vaccine has done a thing to refute that impression. Import Peyton Siver should be very good, and just quietly forward Finn Delaney may be emerging as the best dynamic local big in the NBL. A typical gauge of success in the league, but due to COVID, they will again have a brutal schedule of predominantly away games to start the season. Perth Wildcats. If you're in Perth, you love this team. If you live outside of WA, you hate this team. They've won a league best 10 of the available 42 championships and haven't missed the final since 1987, a streak of 35 straight. They traditionally have the biggest payroll in the league, often thumbing their truffle, that's cat speak for nose, at the league's soft cap. They're essentially Mufasa from The Lion King. Yeah, we get it. Everything the light touches is your kingdom. Cool, go blow it out your ass. They have guard Bryce Cotton, formerly of the NBA. He's an embarrassment to the league. He's that good. He wins everything, including three of the last four MVPs. The only break in the streak coming when the award went to Mr. Dunning Freddy Krueger himself, Andrew Bogut. Whether you're awake or asleep, you're gonna hear his views on things. They've pilfered star player Vic Law from the Bullets, kind of like a Robin Hood in reverse, stealing from the poor to give to the rich. The only snag in their upcoming season is this: they've lost all-star coach Trevor Gleason to the NBA and cashed up owner Jack Bendat, and now they're kind of owned by a rival team's ownership consortium that's based in Melbourne. New coach Scott Morrison has one prime ministerial decree to worry about. That's how to get the ball to Bryce Cotton and get everyone else the fuck out of the way. Watch every game that Bryce Cotton is a part of. He rarely, if ever, disappoints. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. They've been in the league only two seasons. Coach Simon Mitchell is the nicest guy in the game, but you know what they say about nice guys, they tend to finish last. Expect Mitch Creek to be angry after being cut from the national team for reasons other than basketball. This team is hoping that former Dallas Maverick and Philadelphia 76er Ryan Brokoff can shake off the measly 7 points per game he scored last season to be the player that most thought he would, could, and should be. Here's the issue for the Phoenix, though. Success in the NBL typically goes through the point guard position, and SEM are on their third in as many seasons. Just take one dip and end it. The Sydney Kings, the second team on this list to have won three straight chips, but that was back in 2005 when Joel Turner and the Modern Day Poets were still in the rage music charts. The team is now owned by former Repucom frontman Paul Smith after his $12 million bid to buy half of the NRL St. George Illawarra Dragons was turned down in 2019. Andrew Bogut is also a part owner, having taken naught point, then put the number of known atoms in the universe full of zeros, then put a one all the way at the end. That's how big his stake is. The team was building a fine culture behind winning point guard Casper Ware, but he's been jettisoned to the former Soviet Union. Superstar of the future, Dizan Vasiljevic, was the perfect compliment to Ware, but now the pair are worlds apart as Vasiljevic nurses a ruptured Achilles sustained in April. They're a solid lineup with NBA fringe players in big man Jarrell Martin and guards RJ Hunter and Jalen Adams, meshing with promising locals Jordan Hunter and Xavier Cooks. The big question is, can this team crown itself as something serious or continue to be an outlet for Smith's three-quarter life crisis and Bogut's recent retirement? How to follow the NBL when you're not watching the games? Well, follow via Twitter, Facebook, or on the web in no particular order these three accounts: Liam Santamaria of NBL.com.au, Body Nodge of BodyNodge.com, and Matt Logue, the newly minted national basketball writer of the Sydney Morning Herald and News Corp. And I'd like to think maybe this podcast as well. The NBL has its own web show, NBL Overtime, usually comes out every Tuesday. Access it via the NBL socials. It stars Santamaria, Corey Homicide Williams, and Cam Luke. The basketball show is done out of the offices of the Sydney Morning Herald. It's affiliated with News Corp, so perhaps as News Corp has become more entrenched in basketball, it will get a shot in the arm publicity-wise. Access that again through their socials. The other must-follow is the Brad and Botty Basketball Podcast, hosted by the aforementioned Botty Nodge, who's a multiple-time NBL Writer of the Year winner, and former Sydney Kings and current NBL commentator Brad Rosen. With them, you get your fix of NBL and WNBL action from yesteryear, today, and everything in between. The schedule was released in mid-October. The season starts on December 5th with the Jack Jumpers hosting the Adelaide 36ers and the Wildcats welcoming the Bullets from 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. The games will be telecast on 10 Peach for free, but being honest, they will only be weekend games and they're not going to be in HD. If you're out there, you're going to have to bite the bullet if you haven't already and subscribe to KO Sports. KO seemed like the most mess-free way to follow along this season without Foxtel for the cord cutters. I hope this little piece was helpful and I look forward to seeing some of you join the fray. The season is only 28 games. Each game is only 40 minutes long, so come and get a taste, and if you don't like it, you can back out. No hard feelings. The season is going to be great. There's a nice spread of talent. Every team is in the race for either the championship or the finals. I think I, along with many others, would be hesitant to put a line through any team just yet. If you've liked what you heard, like, subscribe, all that nice stuff, but also become a supporter of the show via Patreon. The link is in the description. And follow myself on Twitter at MBL Pocket Pod. Joseph is my name. And also, P.S., that story about the birds, I made it up. It's not true. See you in MBL 22.